Good evening, Love good evening.
Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening to each and every one of you. You are now listening to the Monday Night Avon Motivational Radio Show. And as you know, each week we have various guests come onto our show, whether they are Avon representatives like yourselves, or district managers, or motivational speakers, or life coaches. And today I'm so happy to announce that we have Christopher Mattis, who has agreed to share some golden nuggets with us. So I don't want to take any time away from Christopher, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to plug him in. And Christopher, do you hear me?
I can. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing great. Well. Are you? Good, good. Christopher, before we start, now, not everybody receives my email blast because I also push this out on Facebook. So I want you just to briefly give us, a listening audience, a little history about yourself.
So my background is I grew up in a family business and then eventually pursued a career in psychiatric nursing out in the Napa area during in the state hospital system. Eventually I started my own training company, originally just nursing, and then that led into coaching and leadership. Today I work with a leadership company that specializes in replacement-driven leadership, which means how do we residualize someone's business or raise up the next layer of leaders underneath them so that they're spending most of their time training people with their thinking as opposed to out there doing the ground-level work. So how do they build an organization and keep an organization? And I know you and I have talked just a little bit today. I've got something special for you on the idea of getting your subconscious working for you through goal setting and actually creating something what we call peanuts or feeding your elephant peanuts, your subconscious rewards for the different goals that you set along the way.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And do you so I guess in your line of work, what you basically do is just change the lives of individuals who you come across and to help them become very successful in whatever the journey they're on.
Absolutely. Whatever area they want abundance in, we're going to be working on.
So what are we going to talk about today? What is it that we're going to discuss?
Say that again?
I said, what are we going to discuss today?
So there's a really little book out there called The Ant and the Elephant. And then there's a chapter on in another book that's a bestseller called 13 Resolutions, or Resolves, mm-hmm. 13 uh-huh. Resolutions for Life by Orrin Woodward. And in that one chapter that he discusses, and in The Ant and the Elephant, there's this idea of how do we get our subconscious mind working for us? Most of us by age 11 in the United States have a really well-developed sense of inferiority because of the mass media. And our best intentions of our parents, we still inherited their limited thinking. So for most people, they can want whatever they want out of life, but until they get their subconscious working towards it, they're going to be fighting a battle of the wills, if you will. And our conscious mind runs maybe 2,000 neurons. Our subconscious mind runs over 4 billion neurons. So that's where the idea of the ant and the elephant come from, because you're talking about an ant telling an elephant to do something, and the elephant is only going to do what the elephant has been trained to do. So how do we, physically or, in the world, change our elephants, start working for us and not against us? How do we reprogram those tapes? And I want to talk about the difference between a dream, a goal, and a motivation. So when we talk about a dream, that's something that's beyond who we are currently. In other words, it's not something we're capable of achieving over this next year or 2 years. It's going to require us to become greater than we are. It's going to require us to read more books and listen to more CDs and go, get more mentoring. And it's going to require us to become more self-disciplined. But a dream is not typically something that is easily or readily achievable. And then a goal, that would be the incremental steps along the way to those dreams. What is it we have to do this month to start moving in that direction? What are we going to try to accomplish this year or over this next 6 months? Or what can I do today? What are some activity goals I can set? And then finally, a motivation is, what's the reward or the little carrot I'm going to place on the next couple of goals? So, and they can be completely selfish and completely irrational. And what I mean by that is, if there's something proportionate that you want badly enough to change some habits or force you out of your comfort zone, that is a perfect peanut. And I'll just give you some examples from my background, and everyone's got to personalize this and get with their coach and like I said, make it proportionate. But I really struggled initially with the idea of prospecting and meeting new people. Coming from a criminal psych background, you know, as far as I was concerned, everybody's dangerous and everybody was crazy. So it was not my nature to go say hi. So I had to set the activity goal of I was going to sit down and make, you know, 4 presentations a week. And when I did that, my motivation, my reward for that was I got to rent a movie. I love movies. There's something that has always motivated me or always, you know, I've enjoyed maybe a little too much. And so I took those away unless I performed at least to that level. And then when I got that to where it was a little bit habitual, I said, okay, when I make 15 presentations in a month, I get to go to the movies. And that that I found also motivational. And then over time, what happened was is every week I always showed 4 presentations. I always sat down with 4 new people. And it became a habit. It became just something I normally did. So no longer did I need to reward it. Now I moved the reward from the activity goal to a results goal. So the next thing was, okay, when I moved so much product or when I, you know, recruited, you know, a person on the team, then I got to rent a movie. I've seen people do this with bowls of ice cream. I've seen people do it with a new pair of shoes. I've seen people do it with, you know, getting their nails done. But make it proportionate. It's not like, hey, I talked to one new person. Let's go to China for a month.
And it makes, you know, I've heard people say that before. And you know what? I don't know why I'm not doing it. That's we all should reward ourselves. But we all enjoy rewards.
It's hard to do it, and here's why. Number one, we don't want to get our hopes up, but if we can make it something little like that, we can take those baby steps to start that self-discipline. The other thing that happens is, and I'll give an example. I was just with my daughters today. I've got 3 girls, and my youngest 2 are 12 and 14, and we went on a date, and I took them to the Vivarium in Berkeley, which is a really unique, huge reptile house, and my littlest one loves lizards, and my middle one loves snakes. And I'd set a goal or a reward that when I hit a certain goal, a certain let's say gross volume for that that month is what it turned out to be over 3 different organizations. When I'd set that goal, the reward was supposed to be I would go get a corn snake for my middle daughter and I. And just a cute little red and brown and yellow snake, and it's kind of unique, and it's, you know, innocuous. It's fun. It's, you know, they're soft. And we said, okay, that's what we're going to do. And then I hit the goal, and then I started to justify why it wasn't a big deal to get the snake now. And it wasn't even the cost. I mean, the cost with everything to take care of the snake was, you know, less than $300. But I just justified why I shouldn't get it. I put it off. And the problem with that was actually told my subconscious, when you set a goal and hit it, there's no reward for it. I was actually teaching my subconscious to work against me on accident that I did that. And I think if you look at the social styles, the four ways that people process information, you've got the, if you haven't read Personality Plus from Florence Littauer, it's a phenomenal book, you know, for any team or any organization or any person that's out working with people. It's so good to understand who it is you're speaking to and what their priorities are and the way they process those, you know, things they take in. And she talks about the phlegmatics and the sanguines, so the relational-oriented people, and the and the task-oriented people being the cholerics and the melancholies. And I'm very melancholy and I'm very sanguine. And what happens is the phlegmatics and melancholy and sanguines tend to over-reward, and melancholies and clerics tend to under-reward. They tend to be able to work longer without getting a reward, and the others tend to have to get rewards more often, which is okay as long as we're on purpose training our subconscious to work for us and not against us, because human nature is it's going to work against us. I mean, that's just where we start out at. That's what the world feeds into, you know, and so you not only setting your subconscious up to believe every time I succeed or I accomplish something, there's a reward. When you get that reward, you anchor that win, and it becomes, well, if I set a goal, of course I'm going to hit it. You become unstoppable at a certain point. It just becomes who you are. Just, it's natural for you to set goals and go after them and succeed, because now you've conditioned your subconscious to believe every time you set a goal and work for it, you always get it. And that's even if you miss the goal and reset it, miss the goal and reset it. As soon as you hit it and you go get that reward, that motivator, it immediately anchors that win, and that becomes the habit.
I have a question for you. What happens to the individual who feels as though they need someone to push them? How does that work for them?
So
in terms of setting goals.
Yeah, accountability is really a self thing. Some people are better at being accountable to others than not. Half of us will do more for our teams than we will for ourselves. But at the end of the day, we've got to learn to become self-disciplined and self-accountable. So I have a mentor today in business, and he was very different than my first mentor in business. Both different social styles, so they both appreciated and looked for different things. Both gifted in their own areas. My mentor in the past, we would talk once a week, and I would let him know what I've been doing and where I'm at, and then he would let me know what the next steps were to get there in the time frame I had listed. The mentor I have today, we talk once a week, but I'm chasing a very big goal right now, and it's attached to a dream I've been working at for 5 years, and I have to say I have significantly changed in who that I am and my ability to lead others in this pursuit of this dream and goal. And we communicate about where I'm at every 3 days. So I look at raw data that I'm tracking, and I go, you know, and I try to make adjustments on a regular basis. So it's a matter of how often do I want to live in reality, I guess is kind of what it comes down to. But as far as the pushing thing goes, it really takes us saying to someone else, you know, that we trust, that we're working with, here's what I'm going to do, and here's the game plan I see. You're farther down the road. You've achieved more than I have. So you can't just be accountable to anyone. You need to be accountable to somebody who has got more fruit on the tree in that area. Tim Marks is the best-selling author of Voyage of a Viking, and now Confidence of a Champion, is actually my mentor, and he would say, judge a tree by the fruit it bears, not the fruit it talks about. So you've got to find somebody that has a significantly bigger result in that area than you do, and that's somebody you'd be accountable to, and just hopefully by the nature of the respect you have for them, you would be naturally wanting to make sure that what you told them you were going to live into. And, you know, as the mentor, you know, I just check in with them. Hey, how are you doing on that? Is there something I can do to help? if there's something you're dealing with, we need to reframe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here are the reasons I believe in you. Remember, these are your natural gifts. Work in your gift sets. Don't try to work in your weaknesses. Staff those. So just helping them not hit the pitfalls. But we're going to miss more of the goals than that we set than we hit. But we've got to reset them, reframe, learn from what we did do or didn't do or did do, and then work harder at it the next time until we finally get there. So the accountability, or I need to be pushed. I really would say, as a mentor, I ask a lot of questions. And what I'm looking for is, are you looking for reasons this will work, or are you looking for reasons this won't work? Because if you argue for your excuses, you get to keep them. So if you're looking for reasons this will work, then you're going to hold yourself accountable, and you're going to keep me in the loop doing it. If you're looking for reasons this won't work, and you're telling me I need to be pushed, what you're telling me is, I'm going to fight this, and I'm really maybe not ready to go after this yet. I haven't decided that I'm going to do it. And I'm fine with that. I'm going to be, in the leadership industry the rest of my life. And if it takes a while for somebody to, really get to where they're focused and going after what they want consistently, I'll be here when they're ready. And I've got people that I've worked with over many years, and there are times where they're very on and times where they're very off and in between. I'm probably a little bit more tenacious than most. But I know when I'm really, really engaged versus, growing steadily. And I like explosive growth. I don't know how maintainable it is, but I notice the more that I mentor, in other words, deal with the big rocks with my coach, as opposed to just the mechanics of the business, I notice the more I can sustain that explosive growth. Hope that answered your question.
Yes, it does. It does answer my question. And but then another question is raised when you said that a person when you look for a mentor, as Avon representatives, we recruit our downline just like anybody else in another MLM,
right.
And. And we're in the mindset that we're automatically the mentor, and sometimes we're in the business only a day or so beyond the person who we brought into the business. What should we do? Should we just graciously bow out and say, I'm new as well. Let's learn together. Why don't we have a mentoring session with my immediate upline? Is that something that we should be more honest with ourselves? How should that be handled?
That's a really good question. Let me clarify the difference between a coach and a mentor. So a coach is someone who encourages you and coaches you on through the process of the business, through the process of what it takes to build this. And if you're brand new and you've been in a day longer than the person who brought you here, you could be a great encourager, cheerleader, and set the example by your actions, but you are learning, and you've got to be, integrity would demand that you be straight with them and just say, hey, look, I'm brand new at this too. Let's learn this together. Now, I'm not going to wait on you. I'll be straight with you on that. I'm going to do this, quickly. But if you want to, be my running partner, let's get it done. And then as you start to create a vacuum, by the results you're getting and the books you're reading and the materials you're taking in other words, that growth, you're creating a vacuum and growth between you and where they're at, then you can, transition into that coach. A mentor would probably be one of the higher levels in the industry. And I personally think networking in MLM is the very, very best way to do any kind of a business. And the reason I say that is that, it rewards those who are willing to work, and it separates out people who are talking from people who are doing. Okay? And so I love the industry. I have actually out-earned my coach before, you know, in the industry. And that's kind of a neat spot to be in because, you know, they still get an override on everything you do, so they still have a benefit in you succeeding. But a mentor, like I said, needs to be somebody with some pretty proven results because you're going to be talking about things like struggles you're having in your marriage, the big rocks, the self-image issues, hurts from the past that you're trying to get over, trust issues, you know, how you're handling your own finances. So mentoring is a really significant role. And I see a lot of people, even in life coaching, that have an opinion but don't have a result. I mean, there are best-selling books on the market on marriage from people that aren't married. That doesn't make any sense at all. As a matter of fact, in my career, outside of the mentors that I have, there are only really two couples that I work with in business that I coach business-wise that I would want to sit down with around marriage issues. And they have phenomenal marriages that have been multiple decades. Actually, both of them, I think, are almost 40 years married, and it still looks like they're dating. Their kids are amazing. But you walk into their homes and you look at their library, and it's principle-based marriage book, principle-based marriage book, principle-based marriage book. I mean, it's just relationship books, marriage books. They're so well read. They've so well studied on the subject, and they just got so much fruit on the tree. The same thing around finances. You know, we go to financial planners, and we forget to ask the question, so how much money do you make from your own personal investment? And they look at you kind of funny, and they're like, well, I make a commission. Yeah, I understand you're a salesperson, but what do you make on your personal investments? Well, I don't have any. Well, then you're not playing with my money. Okay. If you don't have any results in the field, I don't want you working with my stuff.
Oh, so true.
Well, yes, integrity-wise, definitely we need to step aside and edify one of the directors that has results as a coach, and then finally one of the upper leaders like you that has, you know, fruit on the tree in lots of areas.
Oh, very good. That was very good. I like that. Okay. I want to forget. Boy, time is running out quickly. So I'm going to let you continue on your presentation.
Okay.
I wanted to interrupt you again.
Oh, so, well, let me kind of wrap up here. I know we've got about 5 minutes left. So the big thing is we have to develop a discipline of dreaming. That is what's going to drive everything else. So most of us, and Blair Singer, who wrote Sales Dogs and is one of Kiyosaki's friends and consultants, I really like Blair. He's very down to earth. I think he's one of the best speakers I've ever seen. I also think he's one of the most genuine people I've met. He talks about this idea of that God gives us licks of the ice cream cone, but he would never give you a dream that you wouldn't be able to achieve if you were willing to discipline yourself, do some work, and become greater than you are. And I really like that idea because all of us had dreams in, you know, grade school, middle school, high school, college of some kind. And usually, for me, by age 24, I had worked as a psych nurse for 5 years at that point, and I kind of joked, but they basically been beaten out of me. I no longer believed those were possible, and I started to doubt that I would do anything significant with my life. And, you know, I remember that Mrs. Franklin quote, Ben Franklin's wife, most men die at 24 but don't start smelling until they're, you know, 64. So we've got to reawaken those dreams again. So, again, your dream's got to be bigger than you can personally achieve now, and it needs to be big enough that you it'll get you through a bad day at work or a fight with your spouse or a layoff or a flat tire. And you've got to dream every day. You've got to start going on and looking at, you know, clothes and shoes and bags and homes and cars and trips. And maybe it's missions trips. My oldest daughter is so motivated by serving in third world missions. So she sets goals in her business, and when she achieves them, she has a money goal attached to it, And when she's got money saved and she hits the goal that she's gone after that quarter or that month or that year, then she gets to go for a week or 2 weeks or a month to a different missions trip to go serve in a third world country. And
wow.
you don't have to be that altruistic. It can be anything, but it needs to be personal. Maybe it's just more time with your kids. Maybe it's each of your kids having their own bedroom. You know, maybe it's taking them skiing for the first time. You know, maybe it's you guys renting a boat and, you know, getting them out, you know, on the water and helping them learn to inner tube. You know, my middle daughter loves horses. My youngest daughter loves gymnastics. So, you know, just make sure it's personal, but it's got to drive you at your heart level. And then once you start getting the habit of at least 15 minutes a day spending time dreaming, spending time thinking of the bigger picture, then you can go down and start breaking it down to that goal. Okay, what are the things I need to do, you know, this year, this month, this week, and today to start making that happen? And then finally, what's the reward I'm going to set when I do this much activity? And then when you habitualize the activity over the course of 6 months or a year, then you move it to what's the reward I'm going to get when I do this result? Okay, when I become a director on Avon, what's the reward that I'm going to do? You know, is it a weekend away with my husband? Is it, a party, you know, at my house with ladies? Is it, you know, I'm going to take my kids to the movie? I mean, whatever that celebration is going to be. But it becomes important that we not only dream, we not only goal set, but we find ways to reward, anchor, and celebrate those wins so that we finally get our subconscious working for us and not against us. You get that elephant trained to go through that wall, and it becomes unstoppable. You become unstoppable.
Wow. Well, that's absolutely amazing. And I agree with you. I think that we hear it, but we just don't internalize it and put it into action.
Right.
And that's something that we have to do. And I think if we do that, then subsequently we'll be more successful in our business. And it'll be
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely. And remember how significant what you do is. You know, you're changing self-images. You're changing financial, issues. And you're alleviating stress in people's lives by the work you do within the Avon Corporation. I mean, it's one of the longest-lasting, most powerfully impacting companies in the world still today. So, you know, I thank you for what you all do.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Well, let me see. It's 9. It's 8:59, and the show is over at 9:00. So, at this time, I usually ask our guests to leave our listeners with some parting words of wisdom.
You never get what you want in life. You only get what you focus on. So become very intentional on what you spend your energy focusing on.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for that, Christopher. And I hope that we can have you on the radio show in a future date.
Absolutely. You take care.
You too. Take care. And thank you so much. And everyone who is on the call, don't forget that Joan has a call. I put it in the email blast. I believe it may be tomorrow, but check the email blast that went out today. And it's also in the newsletter that I sent out today that Joan Thomas, our regional director, is having her phone call for her leadership team. So next week is water taking week, and I'm going to encourage each and every one of you to take this opportunity this week when you spend your time with your family and friends for the 4th of July weekend to take your Avon book with you and get orders for the next week. And have a safe and wonderful 4th of July, and I'll see you next Monday. Good night, everyone.